WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Five American citizens wrongly detained in Iran for years are back home this morning. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has our top story. The group will receive medical support at the base in Virginia to prepare them for their regained freedom. Ukraine will be top of mind when President Biden addresses the UN General Assembly in New York this morning. CBS's Bo Erickson has more on that. Zelensky speaks at the UN this afternoon. The United Auto Workers strike could get bigger at the end of the week. Union President Sean Fain has posted a video message.
If we don't make serious progress by noon on Friday, September 22nd, more locals will be called on to stand up and join the strike.
Almost 13,000 members of the UAW walked out at three plants on Friday. People who live in rural Williamsburg County, South Carolina, are being asked to avoid the crash site of a missing F-35 fighter jet. Military officials located the debris field a day after the aircraft went down. An investigation is underway following two fatal Marine aircraft crashes last month. Correspondent David Martin.
There's no evidence of a common cause, but after the loss of the F-35, the Marines ordered an immediate two-day safety stand down for all aviation units to review basic flying procedures.
The pilot of the fighter jet that crashed Sunday ejected and survived. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is defending his country's expulsion of a senior Indian diplomat. He cites credible allegations India was connected to the assassination of a Sikh activist in British Columbia.
Any involvement of a foreign government in the killing of a Canadian citizen on Canadian soil is an unacceptable violation of our sovereignty.
India expelled a senior Canadian diplomat today. Check your blood pressure lately. New report from the World Health Organization finds an estimated one in three adults lives with hypertension, but almost half don't know they have it. S&P futures up 7. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
The Crunch Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Crunch Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the same for about five minutes.
It was like a week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Who could adequately be described as crying into his rain gauge to put any kind of moisture in there, because it appears the rain missed Lake Wissota yet again, but did fall in other places. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, September 19th. It is National Voter Registration Day. Great day to check out myvote.wi.gov and make sure about your voter registration status. This is National IT Professionals Day, National Butterscotch Pudding Day, and National Talk Like a Pirate Day, which I'm gonna outsource that. It's National Talk Like a Pirate Day, Sam.
Matey.
And what else?
apart from
saying what's the point?
What's the point? Because it's fun to talk like a pirate.
For the first 30 seconds, and then everybody looks like they want to hit you over the head with a book, right? Or something like that.
Unless you're all talking like pirates.
Yeah, then you're drunk. I mean, you don't even need a breathalyzer to determine that one, right? Talk like a pirate today if that's how you feel. Coming up in a few minutes here, we will talk to Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway about the jobs and improvements that are coming to Wisconsin because of President Biden's emphasis on American infrastructure. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser at the bottom of the hour about a major rural economic to-do list that we first mentioned last week with the group that drew it up. We'll talk about the need to get your shots, your double shots as the case may be. I'll tell you about that in just a second as well. And Chad Holmes will tell us what's coming up on his show up on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau right after this fine program. Now, over at UpNorthNewsWI.com, of course, we keep you updated on the stories that we're working on. And one of the stories that went up this morning is my editorial and analysis of the new Republican stadium funding deal to renovate American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. It's got some solid elements to it, and it's got some intentional political gamesmanship in it at a time when we really need a sense of teamwork from legislators and from Governor Tony Evers. So go check out that. Also, Selena Heller has put together a story on the new COVID booster shot, which seems to be a good time for me to talk about getting my double shot yesterday. Now, I mentioned in a couple of weeks here, later next week, I will take off for a few days and go visit one daughter and set of grandkids. So it seemed like I should maybe get that flu shot a little bit earlier than usual and get that COVID shot as well. And so I did a little calling around and found that my local physician's office had the flu shots, but they didn't have the COVID booster. So I thought, well, I still need at least one. So I went in and did that. And that's when they mentioned that one of the other local pharmacies here did have COVID boosters available. So I had to go down to the local pharmacy and get a shot in the other arm. And so now I'm as protected as can be after getting the flu shot on one side, the COVID shot on the other side. Yes, I am still able to lift my arms. They are a little sore, but I'm going to tell you, sore arms, that's nothing compared to having COVID or catching the flu. So this would be a good time now to reach out to your physician's office and or local pharmacy and see if you can get those done, and you can get them done in one fell swoop. President Trump says he's going to be skipping the second Republican debate, the one in Detroit, or the one in the at the Reagan Presidential Library, rather, in California, and he's going to go to Detroit in part to woo striking auto workers. This does not strike me as a good idea. What he's trying to do is make the case that while all of these other losers, or whatever he's going to call them, are at the Reagan Library, he is the heir to the Reagan legacy. And how often do we hear about so-called Reagan Democrats, some of which are union members from places like Detroit? That is how Reagan first got elected, by, you know, having this man of the working people image. And then he proved to be anything but that. And one of the first things he did was fire striking union air traffic controllers. There's nobody looking at Donald Trump now as a striking auto worker and saying, oh yeah, that guy stands with me. Because that's, again, basically how Trump got elected, the same way that Reagan did, was to say, I'm with the everyman. I'm with Joe Lunchbox. And then again, Trump proved to be anything but that. Yet here he is, again, trying to go back to the well a second time. He's not getting a great start, though. The auto workers are motivated in large part by the union's new president, Sean Fain. He is very outspoken. He's very feisty. He has his union ready to roll, ready to strike wherever need be to try to get the best deal possible. And what does Trump say on Meet the Press the other day? He's critical of Sean Fain, saying they've been sold down the river by their leadership. I don't know the gentleman. I know his name very well. I don't think he's doing a good job representing his union. He's not going to have a union in 3 years. Those jobs are all going to be gone because those electric cars are going to be made in China. Does that sound to you like a guy who's going to be fighting for auto workers as they fight to be able to build electric cars and have good benefits? Or does that sound to you like a president who will sell them out in a heartbeat if he were to get reelected? Brewers lost last night in St. Louis, 1-0. And then when we come back, we'll get the forecast from Jennifer Vuchitsky and Madison Mayor Saatchi Rhodes Conway on President Biden's infrastructure investments in Wisconsin. All that and more still ahead on this Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
This is the Dixie Chicks, or the Chicks now. And again, that was from the album Fly, which on this day in 1999 became the first ever album by a country group to hit number one on the Billboard Albums chart. All right, let's get the weather now from weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki, who tells us all about what we can expect all across the state of Wisconsin and what has started out to be up here a beautiful, calm morning, though there's still some rain falling around the area. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and you're exactly right. So it looks like a chance for some showers and storms from Wisconsin Rapids down to Madison and eastward today. Partial sunshine expected for everyone else. Highs in the mid to low 70s, primarily a little cooler towards Lake Michigan into the upper 60s today. Wednesday, looks like a few spotty morning chances for showers and storms around Waukesha and Milwaukee. Then those chances hold off until the afternoon hours from Oshkosh over to Wausau, otherwise sunny skies for western Wisconsin. A little warmer overall tomorrow as a warm front pushes through the areas. And we're looking at highs in the upper 70s to low 80s, mostly warmer around Amory and Baldwin and Richland Center, with highs in the mid-80s, at least 10 degrees above average for this time of the year. Thursday, high-pressure system settles in, so temperatures remain fairly similar in the upper 70s to low 80s, primarily dry during the day for most on Thursday. A few spotty chances for rain Thursday night for west central and southern Wisconsin. Friday, it looks like a slight chance for rain coming in during the day for most, however, holding off until the evening hours for Milwaukee up towards Oshkosh and central Wisconsin. Highs on Friday, similar to Thursday across the board, lingering still above average in the upper 70s to low 80s.
All right. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
We told you last week how the Biden-Harris campaign had put out a new commercial, and they gave Up North News a little sneak peek of it, talking about the importance of infrastructure in Wisconsin and the different ways that the Biden administration, in its first half of its first term, worked with a Democratic Congress to pass several important bills: the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, the Inflation Reduction Act, the CHIPS and Science Act. And this new ad features a Milwaukee area mom and cement mason who's working on building roads and bridges and talking about the jobs that are being created. And Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway is kind enough to join us here to talk a bit about the infrastructure and other spending that can help her community grow as we move into a new year. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Pat. It's great to be here.
It's so nice to have you here, because as I look at plans that are being made in Madison and certainly elsewhere around the state as well, but you see the ability now to make some, frankly, long overdue investments in infrastructure. What are some of the things that you're prioritizing as you look to 2024?
Well, Pat, I want to just start by saying that you're absolutely right. Infrastructure is critical for our cities. And we at the city level, local government level, have been waiting, frankly, quite a long time for the famed Infrastructure Week to show up. And now, thanks to President Biden, you know, we have Infrastructure Year. And I think multiple years, actually. So we are looking at a whole range of things here in Madison. I literally just cut a ribbon on an amazing bike ped bridge, which is partially funded by the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. We got a grant from the Biden administration to rebuild the John Nolan Drive bridges, which are in pretty critical shape. They definitely need to be rebuilt. And that's a massive project. But thanks to President Biden and the funding through the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, we're going to be able to not only rebuild the bridges, but make that entire causeway a more human-friendly environment. It's, you know, right on the lake. And it's going to be fantastic. We couldn't do it ourselves. Yeah. And that, you know, that's just like scratching the surface. We are able to bring rapid transit to Madison, thanks to the Biden administration. We are investing in renewable energy and solar installations and geothermal and energy efficiency, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act. We expect over the next 6 years to get upwards of $13 million in credits from the Biden administration for the work we're doing on renewable energy and energy efficiency and electric vehicles. And that's just unprecedented for local government. And it's not just Madison, right? This is happening all across our great state of Wisconsin. And I really think the work the president is doing to invest in the middle class, to invest in good green jobs, is working here in Wisconsin.
I want to pick up on a point you made about in the case of John Nolan drive over by the Capitol, making it a more, you know, human friendly area. And I noticed that there's another part of town that where that's happening as well. And so when people say, well, you know, why is the federal government involved in these local things? Frankly, the federal government was involved in some of the things that created some of these problems. There is something that the U.S. Department of Transportation called the Reconnecting Communities Grant, because frankly, a lot of post-World War II highway construction broke some neighborhoods in half. And now that same federal investment is helping bring some of those neighborhoods back together.
Yeah, I think the Reconnecting Communities Grant is just a really fantastic and much needed investment. We are hopeful that we'll be able to help reconnect some of Madison's communities through that funding. We've applied, but I know that money is working in other cities around the country to really reduce or reverse the harms of some of the construction of the past. But, you know, I think your point is well taken, because not only did sort of previous federal investment impact in a negative way some of our communities, and we're talking decades ago, the truth is when we built this infrastructure, right, when we built out our sewer infrastructure, our water infrastructure, our streets, our bridges, at that point in time, the federal government was funding approximately 80% of that infrastructure. And we have had to take on at the local level the upkeep of that over the decades. And that's a significant responsibility, let me say. And so now that we need to be reconstructing and replacing this infrastructure, it is such a relief to have a federal government, to have a president who understands cities, who understands local government, and is willing to invest in them at that same level in the critical infrastructure that our communities need. And it's really great to have the under President Biden's leadership to have the federal government back.
We always put out the reminder here that infrastructure is more than the obvious things that you can see, like roads and bridges, that there are things underground and that there are things that aren't used every day, but are so essential. And let me hit on a couple of them. And this first one is one that is not just a Madison thing. This is so many smaller communities in Wisconsin are dealing with PFAS in their drinking water and needing, you know, to shut down wells and either add new equipment or do new wells. And in your case, the bipartisan infrastructure law is sending money your way for mitigating pollution in at least one of the wells, well 15 in Madison. But again, just that alone would be an amazingly expensive proposition for any one city, whether it's Madison, Wausau, or all the other smaller communities that have to face this problem.
Yeah, I'm really grateful that the EPA under President Biden's leadership is taking PFAS seriously and understands how hard it is for local governments to deal with these issues. It's an incredibly expensive prospect. And you're right, we do have that issue here in Madison. It's not, frankly, as bad as some other communities. And, you know, I do look to Mayor Rosenberg's leadership in Wausau. You know, she faced a very serious problem in her water system, moved very quickly with the support of the Biden administration to make sure that her community was getting clean water. And I think you see that pattern repeated across the state, where the funds that are available through the EPA, through the infrastructure law, are really going to be helping communities deliver clean water, not just from PFAS, but also from lead pollution. There's a major effort through the bipartisan infrastructure law to replace lead pipes. That's something Madison did, you know, over a decade ago, but many other communities haven't had the resources to do that. And so it's critically important that these federal investments make it to our communities. And again, I feel like, you know, for the first time in my experience, we have a federal government that understands how important it is for investments to be made on the local level, not just because of the infrastructure, but because of the jobs that are created and because of the opportunity that's created to help grow the middle class all across the state of Wisconsin. So this is all, I think, really critical for our communities.
And then with a changing climate that again has led local leaders with federal help to be able to take some action. In the case of Madison, there's funding going toward flood prevention and mitigation because of rapidly changing climate. And I recall some serious flooding there not that terribly long ago. What kinds of things does that money go to do for prevention and mitigation?
So you're absolutely right. In 2018, we had some very serious flooding in Madison. And frankly, even as bad as it was, we were lucky because the main storm didn't actually hit all of the city. It just hit portions. And then we were subsequently dealing with rising lake levels. And what we've done since is we are embarking on literally mapping all of the watersheds in Madison to understand where the pain points are, to understand where the flooding is an issue, and then to go through and program projects. We are programming more projects than we will ever be able to afford on our own. But we know we have to understand the need in our community so that we can approach the federal and the state government to ask for their help in reducing the impacts of flooding and building resilience in our community. And that's something that I feel like it is now possible for us to actually do some of those projects thanks to the federal money. And we did just get a significant federal grant to work on stormwater mitigation issues, which I'm really grateful for. Again, none of this would have been possible without President Biden's leadership.
Let me touch on one more, and that would be, again, climate related and things that you can do to stop contributing to the problem. In this case, because of the federal help, you're kind of accelerating the way you're switching over the bus fleet in the city.
That's right. Yeah, we are able to, and this is entirely thanks to the Biden economic plan and the infrastructure law. We are able to roll out our new rapid transit system with all electric buses. You know, absent federal money, we would be doing, you know, one or two or three buses a year. But this allows us to completely leapfrog into, you know, what is the new technology and adopt that right away rather than having to wait. We're very excited about it. Just the impact, not only the impacts on reducing our greenhouse gas footprint, but improving our air quality by reducing diesel emissions and improving quality of life on our streets. And again, this is, you know, like we're very excited about the buses we're getting, but the city of Racine has already gotten more electric buses than the city of Madison has. And that also is thanks to federal investment. So this is happening again, all across the state of Wisconsin. And I have obviously I'm partisan to Madison and the work that we're doing here, but I want to recognize that mayors all across the state are doing great work and are being helped by the Biden administration.
Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. It's been a pleasure.
So there's a lot of focus there from the mayor on areas that benefit throughout Wisconsin, but we started with a focus on cities like Madison. But now coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Hans Breitenmoser, and we're going to go back to the Rural Democracy Initiative and its report on making investments in the rural economies of Wisconsin and elsewhere, because the nation can't thrive until its rural economy is in a healthier state as well. So we'll talk to Hans about that right after this. You're up north. All right, that timed out very nicely.
Hi, guys.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good, thanks. All right, so now that have you read your homework?
A little bit, yes. I tried to do my homework.
All right. We talked about a bunker silo
last night, and after we get done covering a bunker silo, tradition has it that I, you know, feed everybody Mexican food from the local restaurant here. So
nice
that that mini celebration may have taken a little bit longer than it should have.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, there's no pop quiz here. So there's so much here that's, you know, familiar as far as what has to be done.
Yep.
What else is on your calendar now?
Well, we still have plenty of corn to chop. Like to get some manure hauled and some winter rye put in. So yeah, just the usual moving parts for this time of the year.
Okay. Yeah, that manure is not going to spread itself.
No, it is not. perhaps we could take just a moment to again remind people to be safe on the roads.
Yes.
Yep. It's always a little bit of a concern just to try and keep people. I got two kids that are doing their behind the wheel education right now. So it's kind of top of mind because now I'm sitting in the passenger seat making sure that they're, you know,
pumping your imaginary brake.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. My right leg. It's sore.
Yep.
Touch the earth. I want to break it in my hands. I want to grow something wild and unruly.
If you were with us last week, you know that we talked to some folks behind the Rural Democracy Initiative, a consortium of groups that worked together to put out a report on what America's rural economy and Wisconsin's rural economy needs most in order to thrive and be a healthy part of a state and national economy. And while it was very nice of that group to put that together and let us talk to them, we thought we would bounce it off, you know, one of our favorite farmers, Hans Breitenmoser up in Lincoln County, and talk a bit about, you know, some of the elements that are in there. These are things that we've talked about by and large before, but I wanted to see if there was anything new in there or anything that he, you know, that stuck out or wanted to take issue with. So, Hans, nice to have you here. How's it going up there?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Pat?
All right. This is busy season for you, is it not?
It's pretty busy around here. Yeah, we've been chopping corn like crazy lately. We still got a bit of corn to chop. And then, of course, combining season begins in earnest. So just a little reminder for people that are driving up and down the roads, you're probably going to see a lot of equipment, a lot of big equipment, a lot of dangerous equipment. So try and give us a kind of a wide berth and be a little patient, because we don't want to have any accidents. So pay attention, please.
Seriously, patience is really all it takes. And we're in such an instant gratification thing. Like, I've got to pass at the very first opportunity. No, you really don't. You know, unless your car is on fire, just wait. It'll be turning off at a field or in a barn or someplace before long. And they're the folks that live and work here. So be patient, be safe out there. Did you say you're putting winter wheat in or winter rye?
We're hoping to put some winter rye in after we take the corn, the corn for silage off. We try and get some winter rye, and if the opportunity presents itself, we need a big enough window to get that done, get some manure hauled, get some rye put out there. But it is good for the soil, and agronomically works pretty well. So we try and get
I was going to ask if it's how much of it is cash crop related versus soil related.
Mostly soil related. I mean, it depends on what happens next spring. So if we feel that we have a need for the forage, we can harvest that winter rye for forage for the dairy cattle, especially like heifers and dry cows. It really all just depends on the weather. So much of this is driven by what, you know, opportunities we have in terms of weather to get things done. So we're forever looking at that 10-day forecast and saying, yes, we can jump through that window, or no, we can't. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of dictates a lot of the things.
You bet. Well, wish you all the best on everything and lots of success. And thanks for taking time every couple of weeks or so to visit with us and talk about some of the policy that goes into this, because there are things we can't control, like the weather. There are things that we can control, like, you know, what laws we pass or what systems that we set up in our cities, in our rural areas as well. So I asked if you would take a little time and look at that report. And like I said, I'm sure a lot of it is not necessarily news to you, but did you have any overall first impressions when you looked at this rather ambitious to-do list for the rural economy?
Well, I mean, I think it's ambitious, but I think it's also just sort of common sense and some of the things that you and I have been talking about for how many years now, as far as where money goes, how does it flow? What are our priorities? What are good investments? You talked with the mayor of Madison a moment ago, which are, you know, that's hard to follow, by the way.
Don't. but it made for a nice mix, a mix, because we a lot of times we don't focus just on, you know, any one community. And even the mayor had a lot to say about Katie Rosenberg and Wausau and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, we need the full picture, Hans. We need that view from near Merrill up by you.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I caught a bit of the program earlier with the mayor, and it's so funny, because it's like one of the things that's so common is that all of these dollars that are being used for infrastructure, I keep saying, where are those dollars going? They're going right back into our communities, you know? And so when you talk about infrastructure development, and some people have this sort of notion that it's taxpayer dollars being spent, you know, willy-nilly, if you look at it from the standpoint of where those dollars are going, and that the fact that they're being invested right back into our communities, meaning the people who are building those, you know, rebuilding those bridges down in Madison, they're not sticking that money under a mattress, and they're not investing it, you know, in China. So it's such a huge economic driver and an opportunity for those dollars to get in the pockets of people who actually work close to the ground, and then go ahead and spend them in their communities with other people who work in their communities. So this is not rocket science. This is just simply understanding how money works and how to get it to work most effectively. And that's by putting it as close to the ground as possible.
Well, you know what? You actually, you bring up what I think is probably the analogy to go with here is folk, regular listeners have heard me spout off a few times about stock buybacks, that when a corporation has money to spend, it, before Reaganomics came along, you couldn't do stock buybacks. That was seen as a form of market manipulation. If you had money, you invested it in your workers, maybe with better pay, or in your facilities. Maybe you upgrade your equipment. Maybe you pay it to shareholders as dividends. Maybe you put it in the bank for later use. There are all these ways to, like you just said, put money to work. And it sounds the same way with what the Biden administration is doing compared to what Republicans would want to do by giving it all the way in tax cuts to the mostly wealthy. That's basically the same as a stock buyback. You're trying to manipulate the market and win their support instead of putting the money to work where it can do the most good. And that certainly includes the infrastructure of rural Wisconsin, whether it's, you know, the broadband, the roads, the bridges, water and sewer lines. I mean, you name it, there's work to be done. And that literally pays dividends.
It totally does. And it's one of those, you can have your cake and eat it too. I mean, these infrastructure projects are projects that need to be done for their own sake, but it also is this very elegant way of getting money to circulate in the economy. And whether that's more urban Madison or very rural areas like where I live, the impact is the same. Those dollars multiply, and they multiply like crazy if they're put into these types of projects close to the ground. But one of the things that I'd like to also sort of bring up is that a lot of these dollars, come to local communities, and it's local governments who are then in charge of making sure that these dollars are used and used properly and so forth. And that's as it should be. But one thing I think people have to remember about that is that, once again, it's only as good as the local government that we elect, right? So we have to make sure that when we are going to the ballot box and thinking about these things, we have to, understand now more than ever how important local government officials are, the type of work that they do, and the difference between having, sort of crazy pants folks who are still grumbling about the last election versus having people who, understand how important it is to get these potholes fixed and to take the most advantage of the dollars that they have available to them, especially in times of, tight budgets, which local governments have been dealing with for how many years as a result of poor state policy.
Yeah. So the report from the Rural Democracy Initiative, and you can read that by going to ruralpolicyaction.us. Again, ruralpolicyaction.us. But it's divided up into a few different sections. And one of the sections, which is more economic in this case, includes some things we've talked about before, like limiting corporate power, empowering workers, having good jobs. But there's also accountability for pollution. There's also food labeling. And I don't know that we've spoken about food labeling once, but in that whole notion of limiting corporate power and empowering the consumer, which is, good for the producer as well, food labeling is one of those things that's often overlooked, but can be extremely important.
Oh, I think so. I mean, as a food producer, yeah, it's important for me to be able to, to make sure that other countries and especially when you consider these multinational conglomerates that have interests in food in different countries, I think it's important for producers and consumers to have that type of labeling that says, no, for real, this is where this product is coming from. But again, it's only as good as how it's how it's developed and so forth. What I mean by that is, you can have labeling that is disingenuous, and then it only erodes consumer confidence. And, that's unfortunate. But again, you look at where that type of disingenuousness is coming from once in a while, and it goes back to, the ability for companies to consolidate and to have more and more power over the policy that regulates them. So ultimately, I mean, so many of these things, whether we're talking about, money coming back to localities that have been fleeced over the last 50 years with just more and more extraction, to, food labeling, it really, so many of these things, in my estimation, come back to antitrust legislation and making sure that in order, making sure that our policymakers understand and appreciate the idea that in order to have a well-functioning capitalist type of system where small business does well and local governments can do well, that means that the part of the role that the federal government plays is to make sure that we don't have absolutely unfettered consolidation and monopolizing of certain industries.
to put it another way, because some folks would hear this from a certain part of the political spectrum and say, oh, they're anti-business. No, it's not anti-business, but it is definitely pro-consumer, and the two are not mutually exclusive.
I think it's pro-business, Pat. I really think it's pro-business, because ultimately, and I've said this before, ultimately, if you're truly a capitalist, you believe in a free market system that is competitive. And anything that gets in the way of that competition is anti-capitalistic. And so, and that, to me, that means whether that's a heavy-handed government or if it's you know, unfettered ability to consolidate and monopolize, that hurts competition. And we see that in our rural areas. We see how gutted our main streets have become when we have larger and larger, you know, big box type stores. And we certainly see that in ag when we look at the handful of grocery chains who, you know, are in charge of or have control over so many of the outlets that people are getting their food from. That has an impact on producers, because it's those large chains now that are dictating the prices that they're willing to pay. And so it's just an upside down situation that doesn't help consumers and it doesn't help producers.
A couple of things that we won't have time to expound on, but there's, of course, talk about housing, and we've talked about the need for affordable housing in rural areas as well as in our cities. Excuse me. But the post office gets a couple of different mentions in this report, because I think folks still kind of underestimate the influence of either a healthy post office or an unhealthy one, and the damage that it can actually do economically to farmers and rural America.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And, you know, you got to remember that I think there's, you know, when there's that, again, that disconnect, we in the rural areas, in some places, we're still struggling to have any kind of effective, you know, broadband. And so, of course, you know, while we are trying to, you know, get the dollars to come in to build that infrastructure, you know, in the meantime, we rely then more on our postal service, perhaps, than some other places that are better served with broadband. So that's still, you know, that's still the way we do business in a lot of areas. And there's still a lot of stuff that moves back and forth via the U.S. mail. So I think that's, again, a piece of infrastructure that is definitely worth keeping. And we should be able to keep if we're smart about how we allocate dollars and where we're investing.
And again, not about being, you know, against private business. There's room for UPS and FedEx and everything, but you have to have a healthy base. You can't privatize the U.S. Postal Service and expect to get nearly the same benefits as when we invest from a taxpayer perspective. Hans Breitenmeiser, always fun to talk to you about these things. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day and good luck up there with the continued harvesting. When we come back, we'll talk to Chad Holmes. You can catch his show right after this one on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, or through the Civic Media app and on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back after this, here up north.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 74 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. May catch a sprinkle late this afternoon into this evening. Otherwise, tonight, partly cloudy, 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer, 83. On Thursday, sunshine, 81. We could get some scattered rain by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
You will be hearing that theme again at the start of the Chad Holmes Show coming up shortly here on Bow Falls Radio in Wausau. Or you can listen through the website, civicmedia.us, the Civic Media app as well. That's for Wausau, but elsewhere across the Civic Media radio network, we have Earl Ingram coming up next in Waukesha, Green Bay, and Racine. Stu Daniels in the Chippewa Valley, La Crosse, Hayward, and Oshkosh. Stephanie Miller in Madison. James J. and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids, and they are all followed by Kristen Bry in As Goes Wisconsin. Assuming Kristen is still there, we're on baby watch. Could be happening any moment now. And then her show is followed by the Noon News, Town Call at 12:15, and then Todd Alba at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow, we're going to talk more about National Voter Registration Day, which is today, but you know really throughout the week things are going to be going on. And we're going to be hearing from two different groups tomorrow about the push to get more people registered to vote, because estimates are that at least one out of four eligible American voters isn't a voter because they're not registered. And this is a week to emphasize that. So we'll hear from the groups All Voting is Local and Leaders Igniting Transformation. That's all coming up tomorrow on the program. Chad Holmes has a program coming up in minutes out of Bull Falls Radio. Chad, good morning. How are you? And what's shaking today?
Good morning. And one of the things about having my show when I do is it's against Earl's. Earl is such a great guy.
Yes, he is.
I tell you, when I first met him, when we had a little workshop down in Madison, just fantastic. Then had him on my program in the afternoon, and now he's on at the same time as me. I got to tell you, I got to tune in because I, in order to talk intelligently about one of the big issues of the day is this Brewer thing. I got to hear what Earl has to say since he's right down there. But I just think he's fantastic, and everybody's fantastic. I just think that so many.
I was going to say, I just put up an 1,100 word analysis piece on the Up North News website. I'm not, you know, fried chicken over here, you know.
I have to admit I missed that one.
Yeah, no, I just put it up. You should go over and take a look at that as well. But yeah, Earl will give great perspective on it. And look, we already know that there are local officials in Madison or Milwaukee rather, who are not happy with this deal. Conversely, there are people, you know, throughout the state that say there is definitely a role for Madison to play from a local government tax perspective, and that there is no one right answer. You try to work out the best deal that you can and try to keep the infighting to a minimum. And that's so tough given the toxic environment in the state capitol these days that you can just cross your fingers and hope for the best and hope to work out a deal that keeps the team here.
Well, I got to say again, seeing Robin Voss and his Republican crony standing on the dugout yesterday making this announcement like it's all they're doing. Again, it rubbed me the wrong way. I always find it again, you know, we just gone through months where they can't find a dime for the University of Wisconsin. They can't find a dime for child care programs. I mean, again, priorities. Budgets are about priorities. Where you spend your money is about priorities. I'm a huge Milwaukee Brewer fan. I don't want the Brewers going anywhere. But again, Mark Antanasio, the value of the team was $232 million when he bought it. It's now worth more than $1.6 billion. It's going to be over $2 billion once he gets this money in there. And when he sells the team, how much is he going to give back to the state that allowed him to have this incredible appreciation of his asset? I mean, come on.
This is also the point now where, again, at the risk of sounding like I'm you know, shilling for him, and I'm not, but the real world is that I can now start to read a list to you and others of every city that's larger than Milwaukee that would kill to have a major league baseball
team.
That
is not true, Pat, to be honest with you. That in order, I mean, I'm saying, yes, they would love a baseball team. Mm-hmm. But the idea that all these places are going to give hundreds of millions of dollars, even $1 billion or $2 billion to build, or $3 billion, who knows what's going to be now. You look at all these stadiums that are getting built. $2 billion, $3 billion. I mean, it's insane. So again, yes, everybody wants a team, but are we going to continue to subsidize these billionaires who, again, have plenty of money to feed to dark money groups during election season? I'm ready to draw a line, to be honest.
I completely understand. I'm absolutely not fighting with you. I'm saying that.
But again, I mean,
that's what you'll hear is how much
you're talking about, Pat. Do you think they're willing to?
All it takes is one. All it takes is one. Listen to this. San Antonio doesn't have a baseball team. Jacksonville doesn't have one. San Jose doesn't. Columbus, Ohio, Charlotte. All of these. All it takes is one.
How many of those cities are going to be successful?
All it takes is one.
I know. And I understand.
That's right.
That.
Look, Jacksonville shouldn't be in the NFL. I'm the first one to tell you that. They now play two of their games in London.
Do you think San Antonio with the Astros and the Rangers there are going to be this incredible success story?
No.
I mean, Mark Antanasio and those owners will take the money, of course. I understand that. But again, why should we be part of this system that puts these cities against each other to see how much money you can give these billionaire owners who want to have taxes eliminated and then not be able to pay for important services? I mean, I guess I woke up this morning seeing Robin Voss standing on that. I got it right in front of my computer right now. It makes me sick.
I completely understand. I do. I have
I
watched.
I love the Brewers. I love sports. Yep. I've lived my life, but I've had enough of having this commissioner, Rob Manfred, come to the state of Wisconsin a few months ago and play the Oakland card already.
Oh, sure.
This is blackmail. And at what point do we stand up and say enough?
And that's the thing, that at what point, and I say this as somebody who lived in Minnesota when the Minnesota North Stars left, and Minnesota fans loved their hockey team, loved them. But they got to a point with Norm Green, the owner, who kept threatening to go to Dallas. And they said, you know what? Get out. Now, it cost a lot of money down the road to eventually attract, you know, what became the Minnesota Wild. But to them, it was better than caving into corporate blackmail. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying. And what I'm saying in my own kind of mealy-mouthed way is that the amount of state investment, it's not going to be zero. Because if it's zero, then yeah, they're going to Oakland. So what is that right level? Clearly, whatever, you know, the Republicans put out yesterday, that's not the right number. They're not going to go with the Tony Evers number. I'm just saying, I hope that once we get all the opening positions there, we find the right number, whatever that happens to be.
And I am happy to say, not happy to say, but I'm willing to say I'm hypocritical about it. I was for the Pfizer Forum deal. I mean, I wanted the Bucks to stay. I mean, I do want the Brewers to stay, but I just find the way that Antanasio Major League Baseball does things to be so distasteful.
You're at the Norm Green phase already, basically. Is, you know,
I was in Eau Claire when that happened. Mm-hmm. I became a North Star fan when I went to Eau Claire to go to school. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the North Stars, and I was there when they moved away, and it bothered me, yes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, again, it's such a bad taste to see guys like Manfred come to town and say what he did, and to see we know what's going to happen. I'm going to say it. We're going to get a deal. We're going to be spending hundreds of millions of dollars, and I can see why Milwaukee would be especially unhappy when they're going through so many of the issues that they are. So again, I understand where this is going, but I really not. It's going to be hard to go down.
But again, that phrase, a cold Omaha, comes to mind when you don't have a major league team. Chad is going to, I'm betting he's going to talk more about this in a matter of minutes at Bull Falls
and
Radio.
And Mayor Rosenberg an hour or two. So she's always.
Oh, I didn't even get to talk up Katie. Tell her hello for us. Tell her the Madison mayor mentioned her earlier in the show here. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 6 a.m.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.